Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm excited about this evening's message. And turn to the screen right up here. And I've entitled this evening's message, Stand Fast. Stand Fast. My friends, we live in a world right now where there is totally chaos in our nation. Our nation is divided in half politically. We see that the enemies to our country are mounting together prophetically, such as Russia and China, Iran. And we're seeing a lot of turmoil around this entire globe. We're seeing in our own nation the violence in the cities and the looting and the robbing and the burning. We're seeing that in this nation alone, over 60 million babies have been aborted. My friends, I'm here to let you know that throughout all the chaos, and just like Jesus said, that in the last days it would be like the days of Lot and Noah. There's one thing that I truly believe that Paul the Apostle encouraged the Philippians and many of other epistles that he had written down when he was visiting these other countries, that it still applies today, that we are to stand fast. Meaning, us born-again Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, washed in the blood of the Lamb, we are to stand fast. We are to not be movable, but immovable. Can I get an amen? You and I are to stand for righteousness, holiness. For without holiness, the Bible says, no man shall see the Lord. And so I'm here to encourage you with this message that we are to stand fast. We are to do what God has called you and I to do. See, God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And you and I, we are to take the blood-stained banner, hallelujah, and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. For we were bought with a price, and God is coming back to redeem that which He has purchased with His blood. And I truly believe, my friends, I truly believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is around the corner. And I know we live in perilous times, but these should be exciting times as well. Meaning, you and I, our responsibility is to preach the gospel, is to feed the poor and pray for the healing of the sick, those that are afflicted. God has put His mandate upon us to continue to walk in His ways, in the ways of holiness. And so, my friends, I'm excited. So, are we ready? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to finish this chapter as we do an expository teaching, line by line, verse by verse, precept upon precept. And we're going to be in verses 25 through 30. And so, let's go. I'm ready. And here we go. In Philippians 1, 25 through 30. And being confident of this, I know that I shall, what? Remain and continue with you for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Verse 27. And let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you shall stand in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Praise God. And verse 28, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. I need you to catch that, saints of God. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Praise God. Praise God, saints. So, let's go now and break this down in verse 25. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy of faith. I need you to catch that. And joy and faith. So, saints of God, this verse seems to reveal a new confidence. And at times, Paul felt that death was certain. At times, he was convinced that God still had work for him to do. See, my friends, in this verse, Paul expressed confidence that his imprisonment, at least, would not end in his death. Paul would remain alive until Philippi and among them so that they would grow and experience the joy of their faith. Praise God. You see, he even wrote in Philemon that he said, reserve a place for me. Let's look at this for a moment. In Philemon 22, but meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you. You see, my friends, it was always his desire to return to Philippi, to encourage the church, to let them know that but it's only by God's grace and His mercy that they started to grow and to flourish. And he got a great report. But even though in the midst of persecution, God's perfect will was done in their lives during this time. And praise God. And perhaps Paul wrote these words thinking that if he was released, their joy would know that he would have joy and would know bounds. And their faith would certainly be strengthened. Hallelujah. You see, he was the father of their faith during this time. An apostle is one who's sent to go do the will of the Father, to do the work, to plant churches, to watch them flourish, to be there for a moment, and then to pass the baton to the leaders that God would raise up. That was Paul's mission. He was one of the greatest apostles to the Gentile world. And he did an awesome job. And we're reading in this book, in this epistle, that he was in prison during this time. And whether he died or was released to go back to do the will of God, it didn't matter to him. He was ready. He was ready either way. Praise God. Praise God. And that's how we should be too. No differently. Can I get an amen? Let's look at Philippians 2:24 here. Let's go there for a moment. Let's look at this. In Philippians 2:24, he wrote, and I trust in the Lord that I myself will come soon. It was Paul's desire to go back, to be the encourager. Let me just pause and say this. You and I are called to be encouragers to one another. And there are many that started out with us. And not only just Amazing Grace, but many churches abroad, many strong congregants at one time were on fire, were serving. And Jesus said it perfectly that in the last days there would be an apostasy, meaning people would leave the faith. And I truly believe that when COVID hit, it was an A-bomb. Many got shattered in their faith. Many of them lost their faith. Many of them have not come back to church. But you and I are to go out and pray and reach them and encourage them. Can I get an amen? That's what Paul wanted to do in the midst of persecution during the time he wrote this epistle. He wanted to go back and encourage them to say, hang on. Continue. Continue to preach. Continue to teach. Continue to pray. Continue to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Continue to lay hands on those who needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. Paul was a great encourager, and he wanted to go back. He wanted to go back and encourage them. But he also knew that he could have been executed in the prison that he wrote this epistle in. So either way, Paul was ready. Listen, saints of God, one day we will be persecuted in this country. Who knows if they have camps already set apart to round up all the Christians and separate us from society. I don't know that, but I do know that this culture hates the Word of God. It's an enemy to the cross. And if we are born again, children of the Most High God, we will see persecution in an extreme way one day. Oh, that's right. Yes, we will. Yes, we will, saints of God. And so he wanted to come back to them. He wanted to come back to them, saints of God. Paul's return would reassure the Philippians as they saw God answering their prayers for Paul's safety. They could have even more reason to boast about what Christ had done for Paul. Oh, that's right. Let's look what was written in the Corinthians, what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Look at this. In verse 26, first of all, as we move on in Philippians chapter 1, it says that your rejoicing for me may be abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you. So, once again, as I've been reiterating in this message, his desire was to come back, to come back, to come back. And look what he wrote in the Corinthian church. Now we can go there. Let's look at this. In 2 Corinthians 5:12, it says, we are not commending ourselves to you again. Instead, we are giving you an occasion to be proud of us so that you can answer those who take pride in appearances rather than in the heart. You see, Paul wanted to always commend the great work that the saints of God were doing. Praise God. Look at this in Corinthians 7:4. Look at this. Great is my confidence in you. Great is my pride in you. I am filled with encouragement. In all of our troubles, my joy overflows. Let me just pause and say this. I am so encouraged to the saints of God of Amazing Grace. Why? Because those that are there love the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, and mind. They serve. They worship. They praise God. Hallelujah. I'd like to just boast in Christ that we have a church that have saints of God that love the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, and mind. And I am so blessed. I am so very thankful. I've been privileged to be their pastor. And there are many fellowships around our county, in our cities, that are wonderful and operate just as well. But as a pastor, we are to encourage and to raise up and to let them know that everything's going to be all right through Christ Jesus. Did you know that God will fulfill and He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory? Did you know that God's will that we would be healed when we acquire affliction, when we're sick in our body, diseased in our body? It is God's will that we would live in perfect health. And I truly believe that when we go through these times of affliction, we go through the times of turmoil, God is saying, I am with you. Praise me through this situation that you're in and watch what I'll do for you. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know? That's what God does. He allows us to go. Listen, Paul, he had a thorn in his side. And three times he asked God, God, could you remove this thorn that's in my side? And God answered him just like this. My grace is sufficient. Praise God. So whatever you're going through right now, saints of God, God's grace is sufficient. Instead of murmuring and complaining, go through whatever you're going through by praising the Lord and thanking Him for the trial. And when you get to the other side, you can look back and say, God, thank you. Thank you that you allowed me to go through this situation. And I'm going to give you now praise, glory, and honor. How many are so blessed to know that? Praise God. Praise God. Look what else Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 7:14. Indeed, I was not embarrassed by anything. I had boasted to him about you. But just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting to Titus was proved to be true as well. You see, Paul, he wanted to give God all the glory and all the praise. Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul's safe return would cause the congregation that loved him so much to boast in Christ Jesus because of answered prayer. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's move on to verse 27 and 28. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast. This is where I got our message tonight, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Praise God. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to of you salvation, and that from God. I need you to catch verse 28 once again. I need to catch that, saints. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is, look at this, which is to them a proof of perdition. Let me pause there for a moment. What does that mean? That means the enemies to the cross, the enemies to our faith, it's proof to you and I and proof to them that when God says they are adversaries and proof of perdition, well, we read in the book of Revelation that the son of perdition, which is the Antichrist, will be tossed into the lake of fire. And this is why we need to pray for our enemies. Because if they remain in that state of being an enemy to the cross, they will be tossed into the lake of fire no differently. This is why the Word of God says that if our adversaries, which is them a proof of perdition, perdition means a lost cause, one that will never return back to God. Saints, this is a serious matter. And so, while Paul felt confident that God still had work for him on earth, he did not know for sure the outcome of his trial. So he urged the Philippians that whether he would return to them or whether he would be martyred, that they would live in a manner worthy of the good news. Paul called them citizens of heaven and said that they should live that way. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this for a moment right up here. He wrote this to the Corinthian church. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, of all of you that agree together, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be united in mind and conviction. Did you catch that? Paul was all about unity. He despised division. He despised those things. Listen, let me just say this. I've seen this happen in many big churches, churches that are at least 500 plus congregants. Sometimes, unfortunately, one will rise up within that congregation and feel like they're called by God, and they will go into the church and they will cause what's called a split. And once a church splits halfway, that fellowship becomes depleted. And there's chaos and there's hurt. Paul was against that. He wanted to see unity. He wanted to see them grow together in the grace and knowledge. He didn't want the saints of God to be pitted against one another. And yet, till this day, we see that still. We still see division. We see division in the home. And I've always said this. If the enemy can divide the family at home, guess what? He has the church. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church right here. Let's go here. Look at this. Be on the alert. Stand firm. What? In the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. That's what it's all about, saints of God. It's about being strong, be encouraged, stand together in the faith, love your brother and your sister, pray for them, pray for one another, encourage one another that they can make it. Listen, sometimes it's a tough road, that's right, to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. But we can turn around and press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Saints of God, it's going to be soon and very soon that Jesus will come for his church and it'll be all over. the struggle of this life, the striving, the pressing. God is going to make all things beautiful in His time. And right now in the background, I hear a siren right now. I don't know if you can hear it. It's right on time because I believe the sirens right now is a forewarning that the tribulation is around the corner and Jesus is about to receive us into glory. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Look at this, what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. Look at this. As a prisoner in the Lord, then I urge you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling that you have received. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? We are to walk worthy of the calling. You and I have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. You and I, hallelujah, have a high calling. We've been highly favored. We are chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. We've been elected by God. We are the election and the chosen of God. And so because we have this high calling, we need to walk worthy, worthy of the calling. You see, saints, Philippi was a Roman colony. And its citizens were proud of all the privileges gained by their Roman citizenship. And we can see that played out right here in Acts. Look at this. In Acts 16, 20 through 21, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." You see, the world has a problem with the things of God. Yet the things of God is what is forever settled in heaven. But the culture, the world, they don't see the heavenly requirements that God has placed for His children. And so the culture balks at it. The culture mocks it. My goodness. Saints, while the Philippians enjoyed the privilege and fulfilled the responsibilities of their Roman citizenship, Paul asked the Philippian Christians to remember that they were also citizens of another kingdom, and they ought to live as citizens of heaven with all the responsibilities of their status. Praise God. That's right. Praise God. Because it entailed of so many values that this world does not offer us. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look a little ahead in Philippians. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3 for a moment. Look at this. "For our citizenship is in heaven." I need you to catch this. "From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." Saints of God, every Wednesday when I conclude in a message, we talk about the rapture of the church, that our bodies will be changed and we will be like Him. Well, look what he says here. "For our citizenship," let's read this again. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to His glorious body." You see, we're going to be just like Him. Yes, we're going to do away with this body of flesh. All God is saying is hold on. Walk in His ways. Obey and follow His commandments. Praise God. And when we sin, the Bible says we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, He will cleanse us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. See, God makes a way for us to continue, that we wouldn't walk in condemnation, but we would walk in God's grace. Not that it gives us a license to sin, no. But it gives us the joy knowing that if I do sin, God will eradicate it through a prayer of confession. Praise God. Praise God, saints. Being a believer is indeed a high calling. And to live worthy of the good news does not mean that one must live perfectly. No. Before being accepted to God's family, no. For such a life is impossible outside of the Holy Spirit's help. Instead, believers ought to live differently because of the grace of God that they have received from Him. And when we believe, we become God's children, heirs of promise, all the promises of God, and members of Christ's body. Praise God. And this privilege was bought at a price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers ought to reflect humility, gentleness, patience, understanding, saints of God, peacefulness, strength, endurance, and gratitude to God in every aspect of their lives here on this earth. I want you to catch this right now. This is what Paul wrote. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." Look at this. "You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." That's the key. See, when Jesus went to the cross and He shed His blood, and when He gave up His spirit to go back into heaven, He said two profound things. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then He said, "It is finished." When He said, "It is finished," redemption was finished at the cross. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So His shedding of His blood, hallelujah, when we came to Him by faith, we were bought with a price. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing we can pay God back. Nothing. Even Bill Gates's billions of dollars cannot buy salvation. Salvation is merited. It's earned by God's grace, His mercy, through a heart of repentance, having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on His death, burial, and resurrection, believing that He died for us and that He rose again on the third day. And when we come into that saving knowledge, God does the miraculous. You see, saints of God, news got out. News got around everyone, whether by letter or personal contact, through key people such as Timothy, Silas, and all the other ones, Luke including. Paul knew what was happening in the churches. That's right. He would always get messengers coming to visit him and to let him know what was happening. Plus, the Holy Spirit would give him enlightenment. Thus, even saints, though Paul hoped to return to the Philippian church, he didn't. He would inevitably hear about the believers there. And he wanted to hear that they were standing side by side, and that the Holy Spirit unites Christians into one spiritual group. If they can stand side by side in the Spirit, they would overcome small differences, that's right, among individual members, and work forcefully toward a common goal to withstand external persecution. Paul also wanted to hear that the believers were fighting together for the good news, like athletes on a team. They would work together with one mind focused on one goal to help advance the faith that comes through the preaching of the gospel. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church right up here. Look at this. "And he himself gave some to what? To be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to ensure," look at that, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise God. You see, my friends, in order to face opposition, they needed to be unhindered by internal dissension, jealousies, and rivalries. Finally, he told them not to be intimidated by their enemies. That's right. Paul had faced severe opposition in many cities, including Philippi. If he was persecuted for his faith, he knew that the Christians ought to expect similar treatment. Christianity's enemies included the Roman Empire, the pagan Philippian populace whom Paul had encountered in the book of Acts, and false teachers who had infiltrated Christian circles whom Paul blasted of his letters. Let's look at this quick little story found in the book of Acts. Let's go here right now. Let's look at this. In Acts 16:16-24, "Now it happened, as he went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Look at this. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her that very hour. Look at this. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought to them the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Look at this. Then the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Wow! And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Wow! Look at the persecution that would come. Paul rebuked the demon off that one girl that was fortune-telling to set her free. And yet the culture, the world, could not comprehend what took place. All they saw is they couldn't make money off this girl anymore for false teaching, false prophecies, being a fortune-teller. That's the world that we live in today. It's no different. And I'm here to let you know that soon God is going to come and redeem us and take us out of this mess. You see, saints, the church would need to be strong within the fellowship in order to live out these three attributes. And sad that much time and effort are lost in some churches by people's fighting against one another instead of uniting against the real opposition, which is the enemy of God. It takes a courageous church, saints of God. That's right. I need you to look at this for a moment. It takes a courageous church. Praise God. To win this war. That's right. To resist the infighting. And to maintain the common purpose of serving. Serving who? Serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The opposition of the believers faced at that time and would face in the future gave them proof of two things. Let's look at the two things right now. Let's look at this. Number one, the destruction of their opponents. That's right. You see, we can pull down strongholds through prayer. It's not the people. It's the spirit living in them. Never think that the person's your enemy. It's the spirit at work. And number two, the salvation of the believers. That's right. The salvation of the believers. Praise God. Praise God. And look at this. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 through 10. Look at this. "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men you were among for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia, Achaia who believe." Look at this, saints of God. "For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia, Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols and to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Did you catch that? God delivers us from the wrath to come. And so this whole message is basically saying, listen, times will get tough. They were tough for Paul. But he had only two options. Number one, to be released from prison, to continue the work of the Lord, or to be martyred, and he will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, saints of God, doom would be sealed for those who persecuted the believers. Salvation is assured for God's people. And like Paul, whether the believers witness through their lives or through their deaths, they would ultimately be saved. Why? Because of God's control of the entire situation. Again, Paul focused on the assurance of eternal salvation for those who believe. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 29. For to you has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Praise God. There's going to be some suffering, my friends. You see, the believers had received their high calling by God's grace alone and by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had been given eternal salvation, empowered by the Holy Spirit to continue. Praise God. And God has given that to us. The baton has been passed to us. We are to now finish the race. Praise God. Let's move on to our last verse before we close. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Wow. Wow, my friends. You see, Paul and the Philippians faced the same great struggle, suffering for spreading of the gospel. The Philippian believers had encouraged Paul through his suffering. Paul wanted to encourage them in the same manner. Paul had faced the struggle in Philippi on his first visit there and still faced his imprisonment. Once again, my friends, look what he wrote right here to the Thessalonians. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much affliction. You see, a lot of Christians today, they want an easy road. They want to feel that they're not under any pressure. But the times are changing. That's right. The Word of God has been kicked out of the public square. The Ten Commandments removed from the schoolhouses and the courthouses. The name of Jesus cannot be mentioned, but you can mention Allah and Buddha all day long. We are living in a culture right now, saints of God, that has changed in the past 60 years. And I truly believe this is one of the signs that God said what would happen right before the Lord Jesus Christ would return. And so, saints, like the Philippians, we are in conflict with anyone who would discredit the saving message of Christ. All true believers are in this fight together, uniting against the same enemy. That's right, for a common cause. And so, as I mentioned, my friends, Jesus is about to return. How many at home believe that he's about to return? Oh, yes, he is. And I can't wait. And the Bible says that in the last days, we would see the season and the signs of Jesus' soon return. If you look at the book of Matthew, chapter 24, it tells us all the sequences of events that'll take place. And right now, they're all converging together like no other time in the history of the world. This is why, as a pastor, I'm also called to be the watchman on a wall, to inform, to let people know the season that we're living, to prepare your life, to live like he's coming in any moment, that we would give God praise, glory, and honor, hallelujah, that you and I, we would be filled with the anointing and with the power of God to live this life, to preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick, to wash and recover. Oh, that's right. That many would come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when you speak into their life, God would give them a mind to be saved and a heart of repentance. And that God would draw them to the cross. and that God would give them a desire to cry out with a spirit of repentance. That's what you and I are called to do. We are to love one another. The Bible says that the greatest two commandments that encompass the whole entire Old Testament, 614 commandments, are two. It's love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two scriptures, all the other commandments hinge on those two. The prophets and all the commandments on those two. And I'll tell you why. Because when you learn to love Jesus with your whole heart, soul, and mind, it becomes a love affair. It doesn't become about do's and don'ts. Because when you fall in love with Him, it's not that you willfully sin. It's that when you do, you can cry out for forgiveness. And He will hear your cry. Why? Because He knows we live in this body of flesh that's not perfected yet. The new body will be perfected. It will be perfect in every way. But the next greatest event is Jesus coming in the clouds. That's right. And when you hear the shofar blast, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Let's look at this and confirm this that Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. Let's look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus, hallelujah, died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Verse 16, say that with me at home now. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. And thus, look at this. And thus we shall be with the Lord forever. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Wow. Wow. Praise God. And so, my friends, I can't wait. I can't wait for this next greatest event. And I could already hear the outcry when we're gone. That's right. The unbelieving world, they'll come up with this. The aliens came and got them. Oh, that's right. They'll have so many excuses. Why? Because they will still deny the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, my friends, we cannot go into heaven with these earthly bodies. This is flesh and blood. So we must be changed and be like Him to enter into heaven. Let's look at this to confirm this in 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54. Now this I say to you, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. My friends, if you're logged in maybe for the first time, second time, maybe third, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, you've never been born again, you see, Jesus made it clear to a Pharisee named Nicodemus where he went at night in private to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I call it Nick at night. Why? Because he didn't want his peers to see him go and talk to Jesus. And Jesus told him straight out, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so when a person is born again, the event that takes place to receive the second birth, which comes from heaven, which is the Holy Spirit, you must repent. You must turn from your wicked ways and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must confess that you have sinned. You must believe that Jesus died and rose again, and believe that He's coming again. You see, if that hasn't been taken place, in other words, if you haven't repented, you haven't been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then filled with the Spirit of God as confirmation in your soul, if that has not yet taken place, my friends, do not let what you're about to see happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month. Or He might come next week. Or He could even come...
Wow. My friends, every time I see this short little video, I'm reminded that God will do whatever He takes, whatever He can, to pursue you, that you would turn your heart to Him. This is the last thing that you would ever want happen to you, is forsaking God, and when He comes for His church, you are left behind. Oh, that's right. That's right. You'll see, there's a scripture in the book of Acts chapter 2. The apostle Peter is recorded by Luke, the physician. He wrote in the book of Acts that on the day of Pentecost that had fully come, the Holy Spirit was poured out. It was the birth of the church, the ecclesia. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, including the women that were there and including Jesus' mother Mary. She needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit as well. But there were people down celebrating the feast of Pentecost. And the Jews throughout the land were required to come and celebrate. And when they heard in that upper room, the 120 who were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance, the people down below thought they were drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. So Peter came down and he had to tell them, they're not drunk with wine as they thought they were, but they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he brought a message of conviction that they needed to repent. My friends, if you're watching, this is the message that'll get you saved. It starts with repentance. Let's look at this. Peter wrote this. Then Luke wrote it for Peter in the book of Acts. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins." Remission means forgiveness. That's the blood of Jesus. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Wow. Wow. Isn't that something, my friends? Isn't that something? Listen, it's very simple. Cry out to God. Let me help you. If you're watching right now, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me for you. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. Don't get left behind like you just saw cry out and ask God to come into your life and to save you from this horrible generation that hates God. And that's right, we're in that time now. We're in that time now that God said, I'm soon to return. So if that is you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody give God a shout of praise and glory. Someone just got saved. Someone just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if that was you, listen, down below is our website. Reach out to us. That's right. Our contact information is on our website. We would love to communicate with you, get you a Bible if you don't have a Bible, and point you and lead you to a church that preaches and teaches the unadulterated Word of God. And if you're living here in the San Diego County, we'd love to have you come out and visit us at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. We're located at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Our Sunday morning live in-person service is at 10:30 a.m. And so I want to thank each and every one of you that have given your heart, and those who have logged in, the saints of God from Amazing Grace, friends and family. Sister Yolanda and I are so mighty thankful for your generosity, for you serving at Amazing Grace, the giving of yourselves to do the work of the ministry, the monetary blessings that we receive to continue the gospel. We're almighty thankful. And down below, donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, this concludes chapter 1 in Philippians chapter 1. And I look forward next week to continue in chapter 2. And I am so blessed that you have opened up your living rooms, that I would come in and teach you God's Word. So on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we leave you this benediction as we close for this evening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace in Jesus' name. And so we love you. God bless you. And we look forward to seeing you Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.